The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took his wife into his home. The Gospel of the Lord. How many of you remember this song? What's it all about, Alfie? Raise your hands. Boy, are you old. That was 45 years ago. Of course, I remember it too, so I'm up there. Well, the question can be asked today, actually any day of the year as Christians, what's it all about? What is Christmas all about? What is our faith all about? And we probably all have different ideas and probably correct ideas and correct understandings, but perhaps to focus it a little bit more, what's the point of it all? What's the end result? Or what does God want for us as an end result? Well, I'm going to read it to you. It's from the second Eucharistic prayer, which I use just about every Sunday. And listen to it carefully, what it says. Basically, it's saying that if we do what we're called to do, if we are faithful, we will merit to be co-heirs to eternal life. We will merit to be co-heirs to eternal life. And that word co-heir, very, very important. Now, we all know that someone who is an heir inherits what someone has left to them, right? Now, it says co-heirs, though, here. Not just heirs, co-heirs. Who is the other co in the co-heirs? Jesus, right? So, we are co-heirs with Jesus. So the next question is, what did Jesus inherit? Everything. Everything. Because he's God. Because he's God, he already had everything. But as the faithful Son of God, faithful God the Son of God the Father, his inheritance, which we are told, was everything. So now let's go back to that word co-heirs. If we are faithful, we will merit to be co-heirs with Christ. So what are we going to inherit if we're faithful? Everything. That's right. See, that's what it's all about, ultimately. It's about what God has done and is doing so that we can be co-heirs. Now, I know I've preached on death and dying and resurrection, and a lot of people, oh, I don't want to hear about that. Well, I'm sorry, we don't get to be co-heirs unless we go through it all, including death. But the inheritance is everything. Now, you may think you're happy now. You may think you have a good grasp on life and you're joyful, and you may be. But all of that joy is only a tiny hint of what the fullness of it all is about, the fullness of the joy. So as Christians, at least ideally, and I know it's an ideal, we Christians should always be looking forward to going before the throne of God, not to be afraid of it. Always looking forward to death because of our hope for eternal life. Can you imagine what would happen in the world, what would happen to other people, if they saw shining in our lives this joy and anticipation of eternal life? And if they said to us, why are you so joyful? Well, you know, I'm hoping to merit to be a co-heir to eternal life. Well, what do you mean by that? I'm going to get everything that Jesus got. Now, of course, they'd be totally confused, which is not a bad thing, because then we could talk about it. We could say, but this is what God wants for me, stupid me, sinner me, and for all of us. That's what God is hoping for and praying for. That's why we have the Nativity. That's why we have Christmas. So that God came down to this earth as a human being to show us how to go up, how to get to heaven. The saying goes like this that the fathers of the church give us: God became man so that man could become God. Or some people put it this way: God came down a ladder so that we could climb that ladder up into heaven. But again, that's what it's all about. It's not about God wanting to see us fail, but rather God wanting us to succeed, to make it into heaven. And he's given us everything we need or could possibly want so that we can be faithful. Again, he became a human being. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. When Adam and Eve sinned, he could have said, that's it, goodbye, I destroy all of you for all eternity. But he didn't. He kept coming back to us. He came back to us with Abraham and Moses, with the prophets, the judges. He came back with John the Baptist. And finally, he came down to show us the way to heaven, to say to us, look, you're screwing it up. This is the way you need to go so that you can inherit what I want to give you, everything. And then ultimately, because Nativity is really only the first, let's say, incarnational part of the story of salvation, we have to put it into context, because the last part of it is about death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. And God did all those things for you and for me to convince us that he really meant when he said, I love you, that he really meant, I cherish you, I desire every single one of you. There is not a person on this planet, there's not a person that's ever lived on this planet who is insignificant, who is not of infinite value in God's eyes. So that's what it's all about. Ultimately, it's about this God who, according to earthly standards, he can't be real, but he is. He's true. He's filled with love for us. And so as we celebrate the feast of the Nativity of the Incarnation of God, hopefully we have a little bit of awe in our hearts and our minds, and a little bit of expectation and anticipation. That's what Advent is about. Anticipating Christ coming not only as we remember his coming as a child, but also looking forward to that time, whenever it is, when he will come in glory to bring to fulfillment his plan of salvation. Now again, can you imagine if we had the conviction of our faith, if we had the joy that goes along with our faith and took it out into the world? Now, people would either put us in the loony bin, or they'd say, geez, what is it with you? I want to know what that's all about. And believe me, the conversions that would happen would be astronomical. And of course, we'd be converted too in all of that. It's not just the one-way street. But I think that's what our Holy Father, Pope Francis, is trying to encourage us to do, to really go into what our faith is all about God's love, about his care for us, and to encourage us to keep putting Christ first in our lives, not last. And yes, we're weak human beings. We are tempted. We fall into sin. But hopefully we say, no, that's not really what I want in my life. I want the fullness of joy. I want to be truly free to give my life over to God. I don't want these possessions or even these family attachments, which are not bad, but they can keep us back if Christ is not number one. And we say, put Christ back into Christmas. Well, do we put Christ every day in front of our eyes, in front of our hearts? Or are we always compromising our faith, putting something out there that becomes a false god that we really want? It may not be necessarily a bad thing, or it might be a bad thing, but we know as Christians what we're called to do as faithful disciples, to turn away from sin, to live the gospel, which, you know, we say it can be hard, yes, but it's ultimately easy because Christ is really taking care of us, giving us what we need so we can be faithful each and every day, so that when it comes to our death, hopefully God will say, you come into the kingdom and inherit with my son everything. So, is that what we want? Is that what we want, to inherit everything? Or are we willing to settle for sloppy seconds, third-rate stuff? Well, God wants only the best for us. So this great feast of the Incarnation, and it's, as I say, it's kind of the beginning of the story of God's salvation, which ends with his death and resurrection and ascension into heaven. We're called to remember that each and every day, to encourage us, to encourage one another to be faithful, and especially to go out into the world as people who proclaim that very good news to other people. Because you know as well as I do, I hear it in confessions, in people who come to the door, there's an awful lot of darkness out there, a lot of despair, depression, people not knowing where to go. For whatever reason, they're stuck. Well, we have the knowledge to unstick them and unstick ourselves. So hopefully we keep going back to what it's all about, remembering what it's all about, living our lives as if we know what it's all about, and we do, and then to take it into the world. And as we do that, no one has to be a genius or a theologian with a degree, just someone who is really in love with God, looking forward to being a co-heir to heaven. That's what really is called for, to be a good disciple, one who takes that good news into the world. So, you know, in the midst of all this stuff getting going, and I hope nobody went to the malls today, I'm sure they were crowded, you know, all that stuff, the real beauty of our faith is all about God and a present that he wants to give us that is far beyond anything you can buy or own or possess. It's about eternal life, eternal joy. I can't express it because it goes beyond anything we can imagine or experience in this life. But that's the good news. That's the good news. You have it, I have it. So it's up to us to live it, to do what we're called to do, take advantage of the sacraments which keep pumping us with God's grace so that we can be good disciples and sharing that gospel, sharing that good news with other people. Because really, it's the only thing that can bring joy into the world, the only thing that can bring peace into the world, and the only thing, not thing, being, who can bring us into eternal life.